You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to the Diablo's Den. I'm your co-host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with the one and only Danny Diablo, a.k.a. Lord Ezek.
What's up, everybody?
How are you, man?
What's up, Jay? How you doing?
Man, it's great to get back together with you. The last time was a couple months ago. We did our short little catch-up episode, which was a fucking lot of fun, man. I always enjoy when you come down to visit the shop and we get to go hang out.
Definitely.
Man, we had such a great time, dude. So, E, we have so much stuff to cover on this episode. I'm really excited. We've got a great guest. But before we get into that, dude, there's a lot of shit going on in the Danny Diablo world, right? So I want to fucking talk about something that I thought was super cool. And you've been plugging it. I also plugged it on my feed. And again, dude, not because you're my boy, I texted you when I watched it.
Yeah.
Yo, you genuinely gave a fucking amazing performance in this. So I've been telling all my friends to watch this. I want to tell everybody it's free to watch, so it doesn't cost anything to support you, right, E?
Yeah, it's on Tubi.
Totally free show on Tubi called Crash the System. Now, you've heard us talk about this show since a couple years ago that, you know, Ezek's been working on this with Kamal, a Jerky Boys fame. It's finally out. It's on Tubi. You can get it for free. Literally, dude, I watched it on my smart TV. We watched it on the web browser. I'm not going to spoil it too much, but episode one, around the 21-minute mark, that's where Ezek comes in. And, yo, man,
you Randy Roadstrap.
Yo, you did fucking great, man. Without giving away too much, if you're familiar with the movie Juice,
Radimus,
you're gonna know right away that what Ezek was channeling there. So, yo, can you just briefly talk to us a little bit about the show? I want to give you props for you fucking nailed it, dude. We watched the whole thing and yo, your parts were definitely a fucking highlight. Again, not just because you're my boy, bro, you fucking killed it, bro.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much. I wish my other friends. My friends will watch things.
Well, listen, it's free to watch. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't cost a damn thing to support you, dude. There's no fucking excuse. It's literally fucking Tubi.com. It's free. Could watch the first episode, 21 minutes, go right in and watch your boy.
The first four episodes, I'm in.
Yeah.
And plus, there's two seasons. I'm coming back on the third season. So
awesome.
I start in December. I start filming again. So Kamal, let's break it down. Kamal is from the Jerky Boys, the Egyptian musician.
Yeah.
People don't understand. Kamal's a hardcore kid. He's from Queens and the Lower East Side. He grew up in Queens and the Lower East Side. His father on Sixth Street and by Second Avenue, all the Indian restaurants. His father had two Indian restaurants back in the day. So I met him when I was a kid because Hoya's brother was good friends with him.
Yo, me, shout Hoya. Out Hoya.
Shout out to Hoya. Big Day, rest in peace.
We used to
sit in front of Alcatraz and drink 40s and make fun of people all day. And that's how I come out. And he's always been a friend of mine. We always kept in touch. And then he's like, I got something for you. And he's like, yo, you are, everyone who watches the show loves you. Plus, Kamal always fucked me. He always fucks with me. So he named me Randy Roadstrap.
I love it.
When I saw it, he's like a hood. He's mad hoodie, but he's also funny. But he's also like hard, like New York tough. So I took basically Radimus from Juice because I love that character. And that dude's from Queens. He's from Bayside, Queens. The guy plays him. He's great, that actor. But I took that kind of character, and I took Joe Pesci from Lethal Weapon. Like the annoying motherfucker,
yeah.
Like that funny, like I put them together and I got that.
It's so great, man. I don't want to spoil it for anyone because I want people to watch it. But
it's a crazy series.
Well, yo, the series is great. But for a second, I want to really just focus, man, again on your parts because they were a highlight
of
the show.
I'm an amazing actor, right? Tell these people.
That's why I was encouraging everyone to. Go watch this for free, man. Like, if anybody was doubting you, they really can't on this, man. The performance was fucking is really good,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know, even the biggest haters, like my friends, I got the supreme clientele of haters as brothers, as friends. Niggas are haters. So because the people I bump elbows with are guys who won Grammys, who won awards, Oscars, and shit like that.
Right.
So my boy Loki, who's a supreme hater. My brother, you know, who I came to LA with, he'd been acting for like 15 years. He's always like the guy, he finally got a role.
Yeah,
in the Mayan.
I've seen him. Yeah, I know Loki. Yeah.
Finally, usually he was like a
background
guy, a background guy who's getting raped in jail or fucking selling, eating out.
Know, he was on Tim and Eric, I think, too. I seen him on Tim and Eric.
You ever see a movie when the guy's buying a hot dog in the background? He's the guy behind the guy with the hot dog, buying the hot dog, sitting on the bench, reading the newspaper. Probably saying he went to school for 8 years acting, and it must kill that nigga that I wake up and I do movies and I get awards for it, and I'm not an actor. Well, so Loki, this goes out to you. This is an award I got from the Indie X Film Festival. It says, Outstanding Achievement Award for acting duo Peter Green and Danny Dow for Priceless. Directed by Tom Vujic, which I'm insane. Like every day I brush my teeth like a normal person and just look at my awards and my platinum records. And I just want to say, Loki, congratulations for being the Mayans. You're a great actor, but you'll never be me. I love you, nigga. Or so else. So besides that.
Well, and speaking of that, you're doing a new film, right? You got some new shit coming?
Yeah, I can't. Well, I'm going to be doing a movie with Don Caprio and Louis Lombardi.
Shout out, Louis.
It's a horror movie. And Sunday, I'm doing a movie in Queens at College Point. The director wrote them. He's like, there's one more part of this movie, and I need you. I directed it for you. And I was like, how much? And he's like, can't give you that much. I said, but it's about Queens, about where you grew up, from Jackson to St. Mike's Park. I said, I'll do it for free.
That's dope.
You see, I said, I'll do it. And just, you know, maybe throw me an 8-ball or fucking a piece of pie or something, whatever. We'll talk some shit.
Well, yo,
and that's it.
I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna save the eight ball and pizza pie comment for a minute because I want to go back to that for something else we're gonna talk about in a minute. But
I'm saying, but I feel you.
I make jokes,
everyone. No. So if you watch this, you're like, oh my god. Yeah, shut the fuck up.
No, I'm saying, listen, that's perfect segue to another part. Wait, I just don't want to get into.
I'm doing another movie. I got two more movies coming up, and I told everyone when I hit 50, I'm going to be doing movies. I'm going to be 51 December 20th.
I love
and, it. And I'm doing movies. I'm winning awards. All right?
I love
and that's,
it,
that's all I can say. And that's what I'm going to do. I love movies. I love music. I love the underground. And I love doing indie. That's it.
So, yo, E, you're killing it on the music thing, dude. I want to talk about this. So, September 7th, you're starting the next wave of the fucking Agnostic Front Sick of It All tour. You're doing
New
that
York
with Crown
United
of Thorns.
Tour.
The New York United tour. September 7th, so by the time this comes out, the tour will probably just about be a day or two in. Yo, how excited are you to do this? Because the last fucking run was...
Killed it.
It was awesome.
We killed it. We are doing a tour. I guess it's how much? 3 weeks? 3 weeks?
It's a long run, yeah.
3 weeks. It's on the West Coast, Texas, Louisiana, fucking all California. So I can't wait to do this, bro. We're playing Arizona. So basically, we're leaving on Tuesday. We fly out to we're flying a day early to Vegas. All of us.
Oh
to
my
meet up.
God!
I got the A team with me. I got you thought an out the front and sitting wall. We're like, who am I bringing? I'm bringing Drago. I'm bringing MQ.
Oh shit!
It's on. We're gonna destroy. We're gonna go. All MQ will be with me. We'll be selling MQ and graph bots.
Just in case anyone's listening, you won't have the real MQ with you. It'll be someone who
a stunt double.
Yeah, a stunt double. Just in case someone gets any ideas to try to find him somewhere. It's not the real MQ. It's a stunt double.
We will be selling mad art, and we will be hitting up every city. To all you graph writers, bring your black books. Come to the merch table.
That's awesome.
Also, I just bought 4 dozen New York hardcore streetwear hats for every color.
I just saw you just dropped a bunch off at Generation. Shout out to Mark and the whole crew down there.
Shout out to Mark, who's doing the Generation Records is doing the vinyl for Generators of Violence.
Sick.
Force Five Records. Also, the DRP across my manager, my fucking label, my manager, my fucking partner in crime, my business manager. I'm moving out to Milwaukee soon, and I'm opening up a Diablo's Den, home of cuts, tattoos, music, and art.
That's which fucking will be amazing.
Will be barbershop, a tattoo shop, a record store, and a graffiti supply
store. I love that. Fuck, that's awesome, man. Let me know if you need, obviously, dude, if you need any help with anything on that end, you know I have got your back, as always.
And we're going to be doing a whole reality show about building and making this happen.
So I wanted to get into that. So actually, you are taking out a camera guy for the first time, right, on the AF tour, right?
Well, I just thought we're bringing 100 Proof, the rapper from the White Rap Show.
Remember the White Rap Show? Of course, yeah. Shout out, Yvonne loves that. Yvonne loves that show.
Well, shout out to Jenkins and fucking everyone. But 100
Proof. Shout out, yeah, Sasha too.
100 Proof basically is I got him signed to Force 5 Records. So now he's putting a new album. I did a verse for him, and now he's gonna be the camera guy doing the videos for Force 5. So he's gonna be the camera guy. So I'm happy, man.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm actually on my end, dude, very excited to see the show come together. I think you and I have talked about this for years, and I know a lot of people have been very vocal about wanting to see you do some stuff. And I think with how many platforms are available, dude, it's easier than ever. And I, for one, save me a spot on the show because I want to be on there.
Okay.
You know, when we're doing it, but I can't wait, man.
I'm wearing my shout out to Travis McCoy from Two Class Heroes. Travis has a new solo album out. Go get it, yo. The dude just came out. We just did a video called Off the Generators of Violence record, because he's on the record, but we couldn't put his name on the record. The record label won't.
Yeah, that's how all that shit goes, man.
He said a soul record, but now I can put it on the video. So Travis McCoy, back in the day with Scarhead, featuring Travis McCoy back in the day. The video dropped September 11th, everybody.
I was going to say, yeah, I wanted to talk about that because you just recently... I seen you've been dropping a bunch of clips, dude, showing the behind the scenes and stuff too. And then for those who don't know, you also finished another video too.
I did two videos of Piss Mob, Danny Dell versus Piss Mob on E-Train Records, my label.
Yep.
Piss Mob from Jersey. They're like trap metal, trap metal, hardcore punk, hip hop.
A little mix of everything.
Jersey City, the Cuban, Puerto Rican kids.
Oh, shout out my Cubans, bro. You know, that's my shit.
Yo, the kids are good kids. And I just actually finished I got to do one more verse on it. But the whole summer, we did this whole album. Shout out to Drago for being A&R on that. He put it together for us. So basically, Danny Diablo versus Piss Mob. And I got Micah on it. This kid named Micah from Jersey's dope MC. I got Vincent Al, dope MC. I got Diggy involved. He's on it, mixing it. I got Stress mastering it. I got Diggy rapping on it. I got Big Lito rapping on it. I got Blizz from Juice rapping on it.
Oh, that's sick.
Oh, who else? I got someone else. Oh, and I got Panic, rest in peace.
Panic, oh, yeah, DMF. Dude. Yeah, I wanted to...
So sad.
I forgot to cover that at the beginning. Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out, man. Rest in peace, Panic. I know you guys lost your brother, so I just
L Rock Records, but DMS. He passed away. One of the best rappers. He was the best rapper in DMS ever. He basically, Tiggy goes, I got two verses that we never put out, so I put one of the verses on the fucking. Danny Diablo's Piss Mob
album.
Dope.
So that's dope, man.
Keep it going. And Panic, I love you. I know that the world was crazy. You were the funniest guys. I brought you all over the world. I brought them to Japan, Europe. I brought them to fucking Mexico. I brought them to fucking everywhere. And we had such a good time. And I don't make a lot of money. Everyone knows that. But if I eat, you eat.
Yeah, no, you've always been extremely generous, dude.
I bring everyone on the road.
Yep.
I'm like the first.
Well, and bro, listen, like I'm gonna say this too. Like, You're the dude who, like, when you come to visit me, you always come with, like, some piece of sick art for the shop or just something so generous, dude, that's, like, so thoughtful, yeah, dude. And I, you know, and I don't really talk about that stuff, you know, out public because I was trying to keep the privacy.
I got something for you. I got a grab bar for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I got my personal one that you got here at the crib. But, yeah, dude, I'm just always super thankful that you remember to do that. So, yo, E, I want to go back to this because of all things I'm going to make happen for you. An 8-ball and a pizza is going to be the easiest thing. So you and I are getting together to throw a big party in Connecticut.
Yeah, coming up. I always love Connecticut, too.
Well, and this is going to be a fucking good one. So let's talk about it. Saturday, November 5th, New Haven, Connecticut. Right?
New Haven.
So when was the last time Crown of Thorns played New Haven?
I care, baby.
Yep. When was the last time? We were trying to gauge. When was the last time? We can't remember.
When it came out, I played as Danny Diablo. Remember, I came out with Big Lito and all them.
When was the last?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah, so that's what we were saying. So, and you're going to be joined by a special guest at that show, right? Your boy, right here,
Jay Reason,
getting back on stage.
It's your fucking release. It's your party, nigga.
Well, so yo. You heard it. The Distance, my old band. First show in 14 years. We're fucking dusting off the catalog. We're throwing a huge party. It's Crown of Thorns, Regulate, The Distance, Almighty Watching, Adrian. I'm announcing it here first. My boys, The World, Maddie. And
shout out to the world.
Shout out to the world, my boy Maddie.
Shout out to the world.
We're adding them on the flyer after because the promoters like to wait to fucking do shit like that. But you heard it here first.
Good guys.
Maddie's the best. We wouldn't have. There was no other way we were gonna. I needed to have him on the show with us, especially because him, Tavi. We're gonna get all the brothers together, and then
we gotta watch Tavi that night.
We're gonna have such a blast. So I was looking. This was our old record. Originally released on Abacus. And inside this, we were just talking about this. I shout you out in this because, dude, this is how long our friendship was and how you helped me a big time through this. So I'm so excited to play. So you'll see the link on your screen for this. Saturday, November 5th, State House, New Haven, Connecticut. Party with us.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a fucking blast. So, E, we got a guest tonight that I'm really excited about. This comes from another scene of adjacent to hardcore, the big pop punk scene.
Big pop punk.
got a good friend of mine, but he also recently produced On Your Nerves, Brace for the Best, which just came out on Static Era Records, which I encourage everybody to check out. So I'm going to welcome my boy Zachary Ross, who you guys know from Man Overboard, in 1 second. So hang tight. All right. So, yo, I'm really excited here to welcome my friend and a guest. One of my favorite things when we do the show, everybody knows, is when we get, somebody who's like adjacent to the hardcore scene together with Ezak. I always just feel like these bring together the best kind of stories and all kinds of things. And it really helps introduce our listeners to some new people. So I want to welcome my boy Zachary Ross to the show.
Yay! And I appreciate being here. I'm a big fan of both your guys' bands, The Distance, Scarhead, Crown of Thorns.
Thank you.
Voice of Reason, Ice Pick.
Oh, like, shit.
I really wanted to be here because I enjoy both of the things you guys have done.
Awesome, man. Well, Zach, we're really excited to have you on. So, Zach, for those who aren't familiar, before we get into asking you a bunch of shit, man, tell our listeners, very brief about yourself and how they might, be familiar with you.
I sang in a band. I started a band with my friends after high school called Man Overboard, and we were a pop punk band. We do like the Warped Tour, shit like that. And we did pretty good.
Hell yeah, you did.
that was my main gig for like a few, probably like a better part of a decade, close to a decade. And the other dudes in my band are trying to have babies and shit now, which is cool. Like, and that's a beautiful thing, but the show's got to move on. So
I feel you, man. And we're going to cover some of the new shit you're working on. And I had just plugged some production stuff that you were doing right before we jumped on. So I want to start really quick, Zach. Talk about you getting into music and kind of the formation of, for those people who don't know about Man Overboard, going on to Let's first just talk about your introduction to kind of like the getting into music and sort of playing and discovering that whole thing. Because for those that don't know, you're actually like a hardcore kid too. So people might be like, surprised because they listen to that and not know that. But you've been around for a while and went to a bunch of shows, etc.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's what it was. And I think that helped Man Overboard like a lot in the beginning. Was like, we weren't old by any means. I was 19 when we started the band. But I had been going to hardcore shows in my area. You know, not like I'm like the most known dude or whatever, but like people, like I've been going to the shows in my area since I was like 14. So, and that wasn't, I wasn't the only person in my band you could say that about. There was a few of us you could say that about.
Oh, cool.
So when we did our thing and we were like 19, it wasn't just like pop punk kids or whatever that were like, you know, had our back or showed it some respect. Like more punk kids or hardcore kids supported us in our area. And I think to people that didn't understand or didn't go to the, didn't know that about us, a lot of times scratched their heads at that. Like, why is everybody trying to be this kid's boy?
Totally. Well, and you guys started out on Run for Cover, which is obviously like they've grown into a very big indie label now, but they are very, at the beginning, have hardcore roots in our scene and stuff too. Go ahead.
My dad rules and got me into like heavy metal and Slayer and
cool.
All sorts of stuff like that. Bought me any album I wanted when I was a kid. So I had like this gnarly CD collection when I was a kid, and I was allowed to have anything. Like, they didn't care. My parents didn't give a fuck about like parental advisory or any shit like that.
That's awesome.
I was good at instruments. So they were like, this is his shit. Like, whatever.
That's cool, man. They pushed you. What you want to do.
Exactly. And my parents were really supportive with the music and shit. And, you know, it's just like I think a pretty typical, like, I'm from the suburbs, a pretty typical story, like very middle class. But I was super into music. And when I started to learn about punk and shows that were happening with like under 200 people and stuff at them, you know, you ask your mom, like, can you drop us off at the fucking train? And lie if you have to about where you're going or whatever, but like, yeah, it wasn't the most, like, it was pretty standard shit, you know what I mean, in that regard.
And did you guys, like, Zach, so when you started doing the band, obviously you're young and you've been around the scene and stuff, was it always in you that you were like, I'm gonna try to take this as far as I can, and kind of like you always wanted that to happen? Because to me, dude, it's really interesting, like, you go from Run for Cover to Rise, which fucking big label, man, you know what I mean? So tell me a little bit about that kind of journey too.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And it's like, that's the thing, like, it's always been in my head to like that my art is gonna be what I fucking do. I'm not and it was not even like this like rebellious mindset to me. It's just like, it is what it is, bitch. Like, this is what I'm gonna and in a way, like, I love you know, hardcore, and I love street punk like a lot, and yeah. I love more like classic style pop punk too. And I could have, everybody likes to be like, everybody could have focused their artistic efforts into a million different things, right? If you're an artistic person. But like, yeah, I felt like I need to make a band that's like, can be extremely as commercially viable as I can. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Like,
I feel you, dude. Listen, you're talking, like, to a dude who made a record. You know, I mean, dude, I'm with you. I feel like if given the opportunity, you should. And I know Isaac will agree.
When I got signed by Travis Barker, people were like, yo, you're selling out and all that. I was like, selling out? I said, no, this guy just gave me $10,000 for an EP and gave me back my masters. My best friends won't even fucking give me $250 to do a song. These guys suck.
Exactly.
Fuck them.
You're
the fuck out of here.
You're taking care of your shit. Your shit, like your bills, whatever it is, your cell phone, your rent, by being able to do your music. What the fuck could be cooler than that?
Yeah, it's so insane. Back, like, I like remember, like, back in the days, like, punk people would get mad at people for making it or getting a producer or selling records in a chain store. Like, how can you do that? I'm like, but you just bought a $500 ticket for the Misfits right now.
Exactly.
I mean, like you're standing for a Black Sabbath. What the fuck is your problem, bro?
And it's, we're not mad at the Misfits. Who should be mad?
No, I'm happy for the Misfits. Like, every band like Metallica, all these bands wear Mr. Shirts. Every band that wears a shirt should take you out. That's how I think my world is. If someone has a Scarhead shirt or a big band, like, they'll take my band out. That's how I don't give a fuck. If you wear the shirt, take the band out. That's all.
I agree. Yeah.
And that was the thing, to make pop punk to me felt like at that age the perfect medium between, like, all right, I'm not like doing something corny, like, because I'm 19, so I'm still like all the shit you're just saying, you don't want to sell the fuck out or whatever, like, totally. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going up there trying to be like Creed or some shit. It's still kind of like punk or some shit, but like I could maybe make real money doing this. I think with my mindset, like, there's a happy medium between like, this has something to do with like some sort of subculture that I connected to, but like the ceiling's a little bit higher.
Imagine how the Goo Goo Dolls did it. Remember, they were signed to Metal Blade?
Yep.
And they were like, and they were punk as fuck. And all of a sudden, they became the biggest single in the world. You mean the biggest video on MTV?
And you can't hate. And
no.
I like all their music, like, a lot. I think he has one of the best.
No, that's the problem with people. Like, with music, there's only two types of music: good music and bad music. That's it.
I agree. Yeah. I think people are always trying to, like, I hate when, me and Ezek always say, it's like, I hate when people say, oh, I have guilty pleasure music. It's like you said, it's either good or bad. Like, I like all kinds of shit.
It's funny you guys say that. Somebody said to me the other day, which I felt was a strange, like, compliment. My boy said to me, you have a way of being able to, like, post the song you're listening to, and it could be some whack-ass shit. And it's like not cool. Like, if I posted that I was listening to whatever this shit right now, people would be breaking my balls. But if you say it, and I was like, yeah, cause I don't give a fuck.
Well, and, you know, and Zach, that's why I was excited to see you and Danny get together for this episode again, because both of you guys, like, in your respective fields, kind of both waved that flag of like, yo, this is who I am. This is kind of what I'm doing. So, I want to go back for a second, dude. Talk about, like, obviously, dude, Rise Records is a fucking huge label, and they're very big. So, like, how does that transition go, man? So, like, you tell me first about being that band, you know, from where you guys are at in Jersey, right? And getting
what
signed.
What part of Jersey?
South Jersey. I'm like, our scene growing up was more Philly. I'm from like 10 minutes over the bridge in Jersey, outside of Philly.
Oh, by Camden?
Yes. I could drive to Camden in 10 minutes. When we were young, we used to go out there for blow. 17-year-old just got my license, and that would be what the cops would be like. You wouldn't even get in trouble, but they'd be like, "What? You would get pulled over."
Yeah, they know what's going on.
Looking like me.
So Zach, tell me a little bit about, like, how does the band get on Run for Cover's radar, and then from there, tell me about, like, you know, that kind of in between getting to Rise, because again, dude, I feel like Rise is such a, you know, is even still such a big label. What was that like for you? Because that must have felt like a really big win, especially for somebody who's, you know, again, I know you kind of follow a lot of the behind the scenes shit too. Tell me a little bit about that journey.
Getting on Run for Cover was really, like, organic. All the bands that he was signing, we were like a family. All the bands that were signed to that label were like a family at that point in time. We still are, like, but, like, it was, we saw each other and spoke and had to play with each other. And I'm talking, like, Band Overboard, Balance and Composure, or Title Fight, you know, Tiger's Jaw, Transit. All these bands were, like, really, 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 really,
I mean,
close.
And bands who you're talking now have had fucking amazing careers.
Yeah, but we rode for each other too, like, in the sense that when we were coming up, it would be like, whoever, I remember it was probably Title Fight would get signed first and then get in the dude's ear, like, oh, you got to sign Transit.
That's
then they
sick.
Get
into,
gotta
That's
sign
cool.
Man Overboard.
That's cool.
Like, we were, it was like that. So that was, like, really organic. That's how that rolled. With Rise, actually, they hit us up. And I feel like I can say this now. I've never said this in an interview.
Oh no, dude! Here you're totally encouraged to say everything.
So when Rise first reached out to us, we said no. And then when Rise reached out to us a second time, we said no.
Oh shit! Real?
And we said we want one. They reached out the first time, like three albums or something. We were like, we want a one contract, one album.
One off, yeah.
Like, no. And we were like, all right, bye. Then they called us back and they're like, two albums. We're like, no, boom. Then they called us again. They took us out to eat. They're like, one album with some options for the other ones. We're like, let's go.
That's all. And so, like, can you talk a little bit about anybody else who was interested at that time other than Rise, or like what made you, because obviously you had a specific goal in mind of doing a one-off record. Like, was there other people kind of knocking at the door, or were you like, maybe like, yeah, we'll stay with Run for Cover? Like,
the reason that we wanted to do a one-off was because we at that time had, we were like, we want to get to a point where we can put this shit out ourselves.
Like, all right,
we wanted to wrap it all the way back the fuck around. So like, it was DIY again. We wanted to be like, We wanted to leave the door open in case one day we could, like, these Rise records and shit, we were big enough that we could be like, fuck you, we'll just do it ourselves, and it will literally reach the same amount of people.
You want to use them as a jump off, like start the engines and like get the machine going, then back. Like, peace.
Take it all back.
Yeah. All right.
That was, like, I think our mindset, but it ended up, they ended up working really hard for us, and our band grew a lot, and they were very generous with, like, giving us money. They got us to record with Bill Stevenson from the Descendants and Black Flag.
That's sick.
That's dope.
A good relationship that we wrote out. Event. You know, we ended up doing three records.
So was the last record you did, was that the Heavy Love album?
Yeah. That was with Rise. That's the one Bill Stevenson did.
That's awesome. What was it like working with Bill? I've always wanted to record with him, man.
That guy's amazing.
He's amazing.
His production's amazing.
It is. And if, you know what's crazy? I thought he would be so much more of, like, you know, both you guys know, when you guys were track vocals. Like, I thought that this was going to be the hardest dude on me that anyone's ever been. Like, no one's ever been as hard on you as Bill Stevenson's about to be. That's what I was prepared for. And it was like the opposite. It was like all these people on the way up who were great, talented people were like maybe saying, hey, Zach, sing it more like this, sing it more like that. Then I got to like what everybody agrees is like the top king dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, baby, you're good. Just do it like you.
Do it yourself. You have to do your style. Yeah, that's cool. That's like it's hard when people, when you work with producers and they're trying to change you and change your whole flow or your whole sound, and it's like, but if someone, if you work with someone and they're like, yo, do you, and just adapt to the music and bring his stuff in, that's amazing. You guys can work like that.
I would like to see Zach do a song with you, E, one day. Because Zach does a lot of production shit, man. I would love to see a crossover of some sorts there.
I'm going to tell myself real quick. I can make beats. I can make, like, tough-ass hardcore. I can make fast, melodic-ass
hardcore. Listen. We'll do an EP, me and you, together, and we'll put out a Jay's label.
I'm in already. I love it.
Seriously. I'm dead ass.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk.
I'm down. We'll do some acoustic shit, acoustic punk stuff, too. It'll be hard.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Zach's production stuff too, but I know, Zach, you had said you wanted to ask Ezak some stuff too. So I'm going to let you take over for a second and get some stuff out the way.
Do I need a lawyer?
No, not on our show.
When did Real Recognize Real come out? I was a senior in high school.
Oh shit.
Okay. And, it's like I'm like a party or some shit. Somebody's like, you have to hear this shit. I go into another room and there's like, you know, some people smoking a blunt and it's 2006, I think. So they're listening to MP3s or MySpace or some shit. And they're just going through the list. Yo, it's Ice-T. It's Danny Diablo. Find your parents on this shit. This older punk kid. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Long story short, that shit changed a lot. It, like, our friend group and shit. So I've always been, and I can never really get the, you know, you look up other hardcore bands, you look up Agnostic Front or Starhead or something. You can read about what happened. You can learn online how stuff. There's nothing, what's the deal with Ice Pick is what I'm asking. Like,
there's vinyl coming, right? I seen Jasta posted something about vinyl.
You saw Jasta. Jasta Basically, you know, Josh did. Josh, I think I scared Josh so bad.
That's what that
when he managed me, I think he went. That's when he turned like. That's when he right after that he turned sober. When the last second he let me go, he went sober and fucking I must have scared the shit out of him and brought him to hell. But we had such a great time, me and Joshua. And when I saw him, I interviewed him for the hardcore. And I saw him and this is hardcore, and we were making jokes about things. So I was like, "Yo, listen, why don't we just do ice pick?" He's like, "Listen, I just got the masters back from Zeus, and we're gonna put like." We got remastered them and put out the vinyl. I was like, do it. And a lot of stuff happened. Like, I know that he owed a lot of money, and then a whole bunch of Russian mob guys were coming to the Stillborn Records. Remember? Like, they're coming to the record ready to break his legs or something. But you know how Josh is.
There was so a Josh lot of interest. Like, listen, there was
a lot of weird shit. But Josh is such a great person. He made it happen, bro. He put the hard work in. Jamie Jaster was... That was a great manager, but also he was a great friend. And me and him, I love him.
I was like to see you post pictures of him over the weekend at Tattoo the Earth.
Oh, we were hanging out, we were bugging out. But he was like, I posted, hey, kids all the time, when we do ice pick. And I talked to Frank. I said, yo, Frank, he goes, I'll play guitar. I say, all right, we'll get Kurt for Crowbar, I'll play second guitar.
That'd be so sick.
And we get Hoyer play bass, and he's like, yeah, it's odd. Which I'm like, so I'm like, I'm trying to get, sooner or later, Hate Me's gonna go hiatus, and all of a sudden we'll bring the ice pick out. It's gonna be hard.
Well, I said, I seen him tweeting about the vinyl.
He tweeted about the vinyl, yo. There's a big demand. Ice pick.
Like Zach said, that record was fucking hard. I mean, I remember working on that record with you guys when the masters came, and you're right, it was like a crazy slash the best special. Time of my life during that era.
It's like a special, like, it's not to be corny, it's like a very special thing, and it like comes across listening to it. Like, is it all the people involved, especially like I said, like I was in the, you know, throes of it. I was probably 19 when the shit came out, so like, or 18. No, I was like 17 or 18. So like, for me at that age, hearing all those dudes on tracks and shit, and having it be recorded really well.
Yeah, and Zeus, like, shout to Zeus.
It's like such a big, big fucking deal.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that it was huge. I remember. Yeah, you're right. You're right, E and Zach. I remember I have. My memories are totally not that great of that manufacturing that record because I remember I'll tell this story, which I've mentioned
that's
this before.
Right.
So the Distance was on tour. You'll remember this. We were on tour,
yes.
and I always at Stillborn handled all the manufacturing to make sure that everything looked good, right?
Oh, the picture.
Right, remember? All right, so you know the story we're going to talk about here.
No, that's it. Yo, Jamie Jaster was a pixelation. I was like, what the fuck is pixelation, nigga? Pixelation.
Yo, so this is what happened. Listen, this is what happened. So we had always used this same pressing plant, right? So the Distance is on tour, and obviously, like, back then, I'm going to sound really old, there wasn't fucking readily available high-speed internet and all these things, right? So
no.
I'm on tour, and I say to Jamie, I'm like, yo, can you just wait, like, you know, a couple days till I get home, and I'll take care of this shit. And then he...
Hell no.
Yo, not only that, hold on,
Josh would do... We'll juggle fucking 8 projects at one time. And just to put money into the other one. He was... The guy was amazing.
Yo.
But sometimes it got rushed a little much. I'm going to tell you something, brother.
Hold on, wait. So hold on. Wait.
You talk about your thing.
Okay.
Tell them how I was out. You weren't there when I recorded that shit.
No, but we were working in the fucking piss office, remember?
Listen, this motherfucker's like calls.
Yeah, this dude used to have a bottle from Kurt Crowbar, just Kurt Crowbar's piss, just chilling autographed.
He's
the fucking weirdest man.
He used to say, remember when Kurt Crowbar used to come in and hang out with me, and he'd be like,
we
took like,
him,
all right.
We took him to the strip club.
He goes like this, all right, Ezek, hang out with Kurt and Jay, and I'll be back. So he'll leave us at 12 o'clock. I'm like,
yeah.
Yo, we'll get like 2 8 balls going to Platini with strippers.
We went to shout out fucking, what's it called? Keepers in Milford, Connecticut. That's where we would always
hang. This guy used to come in and find me and Kurt and yell at us. We were coked up and we didn't want to do shit. We just want to bang strippers. And he's like, what the hell's wrong with you? I was like, you tell me to hang out with Kurt. What do you think's gonna happen? You mean like what?
Well, so we're on tour, and then Joss Defiance, we had always used the same CD manufacturer, right? So like, if our manufacturer would have saw something wrong, he would have known it was wrong, kind of thing.
But this guy didn't give a fuck.
No, because Joss meets this dude on tour, who knows where, and tells him like, yo, I can do 10,000 of these for like a fucking a pen, you know, like just some fucking insane thing, right? So this dude sends him the fucking Jake Bannon, shout out Jake Bannon.
Jake did the artwork.
Yeah, and Jake sends all the print files, but Josta just sends the dude the preview JPEGs, and that's what the dude used to print it. So dude, we got 10,000 CDs with fucking pixelated cover that we then had to get a fucking sticker made. Remember?
Put
over it, dude. Because it was so
big. You kind of look at it, it's not that bad. You mean? No, people love that sticker. No, I gotta tell you, nothing. Oh, he also, you know, so when I did that thing, he's like, he comes to me. So I'm like, let me hear the music for this an album. I've been there for 8 months. He doesn't show me nothing. One day he goes, we gotta drive to fucking, we gotta drive four hours in this fucking Celica. I drove up in the snow to do this. 4 hours I got. To do vocals, the songs I never heard before. I did all the vocals in 4 hours on one take. You know, his vocals are already in there, all like doubled and tripled. I did it one shot. It was a demo. He put my demo vocals on it.
Yeah, but that's badass.
I know, listen, it was a snowstorm, right? Yeah. It was a snowstorm. I was so fucking coked up. I went up there in the snowstorm, and all of a sudden, the sun came out. And all of a sudden, I went in there, there was a hornet, a giant hornet on the microphone in the winter. And I was like, yo, nigga, there's a hornet on the microphone. And Zeus goes, holy shit. And the hornet, the sun came out so bad, the hornet thought it was summertime, but it was wintertime. And it was a hornet right up there. I was like, yo, I'm not going to kill that thing because that's bad luck. So we got it out, but I couldn't believe a hornet. Zeus would bug out that whole shit. And that was the whole recording was due to that hornet. And that was it. But I would tell you something like this. When I met Ice-T at that thing, he came up to me at the party, for a Pennsylvania, and he was like, all these dudes are out there, all rappers, like, yo, where's so-and-so? Like BD Siegel's manager was from Philly, but he's a hardcore kid, so when he saw me, they were all these rappers, Cassidy, all acting in the same room as me, so I had everyone from Queens with me, you know what I mean? We're all Puerto Rican niggas, and we're like, what's up? And they were acting a little, like, yo, rappers, and also they were acting stupid. They said something. I said, hey, yo, like, don't talk to the girl like that. And the rapper, the manager's like, yo, that's Lord Ezek, bro. You know, don't fuck with these niggas. These niggas will pop off right now. And all of a sudden, Ice-T walks in, and it was like Cassidy, Beanie Siegel, all those guys. And they're like, yo, Ice. He goes, hold on one second. He turns around. He goes, Danny Diablo, and he hugged me. And we hugged each other.
That's
and
amazing.
And they were like, who is this nigga? I was like, yo, Ice, I love you. I'm so happy that we can meet here. He goes, yo, man, yo, we hugged each other. I said, do your thing. I'll talk to you later. We talk later. And every time we see each other, it's all fucking
well, and
love.
He's always wearing shout out to Ice T.
He's always wearing my chuck. Ice T's one of the realest motherfuckers in the world. And I love him. One of my favorite rappers. One of the best.
Yeah, we got to get him on. It would be so good.
I'm going to do something with that guy soon. And if I do Ice Pick with Jasta, I want to tell him we got to bring Kurt for guitar. And the third vocalist would be fucking Ice-T.
That would be hard. Do you remember? Remind me, do you remember if we heard Ice-T's part? I can't remember the first time I heard. I think the track was already done.
The track was done already. He did a show that I did mine. Yeah?
Time out. I'm confused. Did Kurt play on Ice Pick?
No. He was okay.
On Crowbar. Kingdom of Sorrow.
I know that.
This is what happened. Kingdom of Sorrow
was shit. I did not know that at all.
Yeah, Kingdom of Sorrow is him and Jost's band. Very good project, the first one.
Yeah, but he would put us together and do the same song in the same session. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Parties like that ruled.
Oh yeah, dude, Zach, I had so many. Oh my god, that, like I said, man, without getting too into it, fucking were the best time of my life was when Ezak lived in New Haven, Connecticut. That was the best. How much fun we had.
I was begging the office. Remember the
that's
Western
why
New
the
Union
lady
girl?
Got mad. Remember? Because
I saw Banya.
Yeah.
She's Puerto Rican too. Yeah. That's how I get. That's how I get in.
I was wondering why after you left she was so mean to me. that office was fucking insane, dude. Remember I used to leave you treats, you know what, in the little thing inside the desk and I mean, it was just fucking crazy.
When I first met this fucking guy with Crowbar, I go shake my hand and I had a big beard. Walking my dog. My dog was walking and I didn't know about ticks. We don't have ticks like that. And Connecticut ticks everywhere. I went like this. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh shit. A tick fell out of my beard. And he looked at me and I threw it on the floor. I was like, fuck this. I was like, yo, we look at that. Now, he's the one that named me Nostradamus.
Yeah, I love. Oh my god,
he named me Nostradamus. He's like Nostradamus. Your Jasta, your boy Nostradamus here. It's going crazy. He's banging hookers on a. I banged this fucking. I banged this stripper in a studio with Slain to move to Boston, and so it's me. I made a fake bed out of broken office chairs and banged the stripper in the janitor's closet. Oh, mate, the janitor's making closet.
I usually do some dumb shit, like just be on the hardwood floor, and then I'm all banged up the next day, and my legs are all cut up and shit.
Oh, I did that one time with Loki and the Metal Wooster, the Wooster Show, the Metal Fest. Yo, I banged this fucking fat pig on the floor, and I forgot who she was. I forgot. Yeah, but Joshua walked in and he looked at me like I killed Jesus. I was like, "Yo, nigga, let me live."
I swear, if you're having sex in an area like that, like you're just making it work on the go. Sometimes the next day, I feel like I got beat the fuck up.
Oh yeah. We fought. That's why he beat up we fucked up anal cunt. Remember?
When Jasta punched the dude.
Beat up anal cunt.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Zach will love that story.
Yo, you want to know something you'll think is funny? Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't fucking, but you'll think this is funny. When I got suspended from school in 10th grade because I made a band called Punched in the Groin, and I wanted to be just like Anal Cunt, and I passed out our CDs at school,
and
I had a nativity scene on the cover, me and my friends, and we had, like, the Unabomber and Adolf Hitler.
You are fucked up, huh?
We were going to have a song called Anal Cunt Rules, but then we decided that Anal Cunt would think that sucked, so we had a song called Anal Cunt Sucks.
Oh shit!
But I got that was like I really like when I was like 13. I thought that band was so hilarious.
No, it's so the poor guy died. Rest in peace, right? The guy died of brain.
Oh, I could see them getting beat the fuck up. Trust me.
Go ahead. He tell.
I've been around the block enough to imagine that scenario like really easily.
No, we fought. Listen, the story. The we beat down Anal Cunt on the stage, and then we set fire to the Victory Records.
Table.
I said we set fire. Had something. Me and Johnson did that. Then we went to. I can say all this. It's funny. Then the bouncers were acting stupid. So we fucked this bouncer. We fucked the bouncers up. And all of a sudden, state troopers come in and goes, "That's my brother." Yeah. Yo, then we, I smelled the state trooper too. I said, you're going to fly. Yo, we were fighting state trooper and the bouncers. Yo, then I had to run out and hide underneath the Gwar's fucking mobile home. And I was hiding on the thing. And we bounced. We had Puerto Rican Mike gaming. And we bounced. It was crazy.
Was this New York or Massachusetts or what?
Wooster Metal Fest.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. It was like a riot, yo. You know, it was a riot, yo. I was, you know, if someone had that on tape,
oh my god,
it was amazing.
Because that shit's in like a huge building now, was it? Like,
it was crazy. It was so crazy, bro. The Habry played down the block. They switched it, right?
Remember? Yeah, that's how they used to do it down the block.
Fight. That's how it broke up. His Ado comes like, no, we're playing, and it was like, yo, it was just like. We beat him up on stage.
Yo, I love that story. I want to go back really quick because I just want to talk about Zach's new project. So, Zach, Man Overboard is still active or not active anymore? When did that kind of wrap up? Or what's before we jump into what you're doing now?
You're cool. Like I said, so everybody's got, and I'm hella proud of everyone. It's all love. Everybody's got three of them have babies. Two of them got like really good businesses. They start. Nick is doing really awesome recording bands, like doing really, right. really great shit. Recording
That's awesome.
Bands. Justin's doing his own thing, working like behind the scenes with artists in LA, and he has a wife and a baby out there. So like, they're fucking out there. That you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, Wayne is living in Texas and just had a little girl and is a barber and is just like chilling, digging his life. And,
that's cool,
and
man.
It's all good. It's like I said, like, I don't know if, to be honest with you guys, and I don't know if everybody in Man Overboard had it in their head that, like, this is what I want to do forever. And that doesn't make them, like, any like a shitty person or anything.
But, man, no, but you're... Listen, I would tell you something right now, because you're younger. Like, yo, that's the hardest part about being in a group. Because being a singer in a group, it's like, people get mad when they do solo shit. So it's like, you know why they do solo shit? Because I got to deal with four other guys who are fucking girlfriends who could destroy the band or fucking, yeah. They did have a nervous breakdown and they get an ultimatum from their wife and it destroys your dream. This is my dream. I know what I always wanted to do since I was 16 years old. The only two things I can do right now, either collect money and beat people up and they'll collect money for my boy or do this. All right, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same shit. It was never, and that's what I mean. So I don't, for me, it was the same for me. It's just that this was the only thing I was ever fucking
doing. Yes, yeah.
And I think that's, again, the three of us, man, and that's why I was excited to have you on the show. It's like, the three of us are so like that where, this is all we're doing. I mean, dude, look, I'm 43 years old and opened a fucking record store in the pandemic. I'm doing a fucking reunion for my band. I got new music. It's like, I'm with you guys. I get inspired actually by seeing, and I said this yesterday, shout out to Hoy and the Smoking Word when we did that. You know, I get inspired by seeing my friends do shit. So I get really excited. So Zach, so from there, you actually just recently, man, within the past like 2 months, dude, you launched your new project called Zachary Ross and the Divine. Dude, the fucking music is sick. Why tell everybody and tell Ezak a little bit about that project? Because I almost think he would be like when you do a remix for one of those, you definitely got to have E rap on
it. Listen, whatever hardcore, hip hop, whatever you want me to do, we got to do something, bro.
I would like to do something together where you rap and we make like a Rick Rubin style beat with guitars and like
that would be sick.
No, dude, I'm down. Do some hard guitars. I'm down, brother.
But like with like a drum machine though, not real drums.
No, drum machine. You can do you sing the hook, hook, dope. You know, I'll fucking kill it.
But yeah, and I should say too, like Man Overboard, it's not out of the question for us to do more shit or like play a show or whatever. But like I said, they got shit going on, and I gotta keep the ball. And it's more than money and stuff. It's that like. Feel the need to create.
No, totally, man. And you're like that because we're going to talk about some of the other stuff. But before we get into what the other half of what you've been doing, tell everybody about this new project, man, what it sounds like, what's available right now, what's coming. Give us the whole rundown.
My agent since I've been 20 years old for Man Overboard has been Matt Pike, if you guys know who he is.
Oh, dude, Matt Pike used to book The Distance. I love him. Shout out Matt Pike. He just texted me yesterday because he's psyched that we're doing the reunion. So I love – actually, Zach, you'll have to tell him – that you were just on.
I mean, as like I said, he's been my dude since I was 20 years old. But so Pike one day about a year ago, I don't know, I was like down in the dumps or just kind of like really artistically frustrated, you could say. And he was like, you know, he was like, yo, I'm your agent. Like, it was really cool. He was like, I don't give a fuck if you make it gonna be a hip hop album or if it's Man Overboard.
Yeah.
But like, what the fuck? And I was legitimately like, damn, bro. Like, I didn't like know that.
That's dope. No, yeah, Pike is the man, dude.
He has your back. Like, that's cool, man. That someone has your back, man.
Yeah. So he's like, it's like that. Why don't you, this is all Pike talking. Why don't you get some good ass songs together, get them recorded, and then you and me will get this shit signed. We'll get this shit signed.
Dope.
So he just lit a hell of hot fire under me.
That's awesome. Like,
and it was like it said to, like, there's more to it. It's kind of when I was coming to grips. Like I said, it's all good. I harbor no ill feelings towards anyone in Man Overboard, but it's when I was kind of realizing that, like, shit, I gotta do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, make moves. Yeah, make moves to survive. Yeah, keep moving.
Yeah, this isn't gonna be like enough for what I want. And anyway, you slice it. No matter what I mean by that, this is not gonna be enough for what I want. And like, Pike was like, well, what the fuck then? Let's go. And we got some songs recorded. My boy Steve recorded these songs, and Smart Punk Records picked it up. And I was able to shop to the labels being like, I got Matt Pike. Like, because, you know, labels be concerned, you know, like, if you want to sign a band, you would like to know that they're going to be touring.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
You're coming to them, and I'm like, I think my songs are pretty good, and I got this dude. Like, we're getting shows. Don't worry about it. We're playing shows.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Definitely.
So it was good. I think I got to flex a little bit of my muscle that got worked being a Man Overboard. I mean, not pull strings or shit. Just like get a special kind of like. I feel very fortunate. How many people like can start a new band and get Pike and get signed to Smart Punk? All that happened before we played our first show.
Yeah, that's sick, well, dude. Sick.
So well, you deserve that because you already made a name for yourself, and people know your work. So it's like when they see when they already right there, they should know that it's gonna be dope. You mean?
Appreciate it, and that's what I mean. I'm not saying this as like bringing this up as like a flex. I'm saying it like I feel so like blessed. Like,
yeah.
It's bomb. It's fucking bomb. So like that's the deal, and so like some of this record was some songs that probably I would have used for Man Overboard, but like just decided to use it for myself.
But you showcase a lot, a different side of your writing on this record, I feel like.
Because this band, it's like, as much as like we're very much, you know, like Madball is a hard, think about Madball, you think hardcore, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like with Man Overboard, it was the same thing with the word pop punk. So I almost felt like, not that we're like that, but you know what I mean? That like, that genre locked.
Yeah.
Like in people's minds. And I'm like, I write, that affected how I wrote shit. And I realized that when that was gone and that kind of lifted off me, it's like I'm influenced by way more than just like fucking Blink-182 and shit, man. You know what I mean? And like I can show that now. I can show a lot of different shit. Like I love funk music. I love like B-boy music.
Yeah.
We have like a breakbeat in one of our like songs. Like that's stuff that like is really catchy. And I think that my listeners are going to be down with in the context of the song. But Man Overboard would have like never done it.
I say what you're talking about. Definitely.
And it's just a million little things like that to the point where it all those things add up in like Jay being like, wow, there's all these new sides of it. And I didn't really do that on purpose, but I'm like, yeah, I guess there are. Because it's just like unapologetically, I'm not filtered.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, and again, Zach, I mean, like that's one of the reasons I'm a fan of yours, man. Because, you know, dude, in a lot of ways, I always like when people who can play these like super safe kind of roles go and do something totally fucking crazy and different, you know? So I always admire that, man. So I'm psyched that we got to plug that. The other thing I want to plug really quick before we wrap up is that you've been doing a lot of production work. You actually did a record that we just put out on Static Era Records called from a band, really great band called On Your Nerves, Brace for the Best. Tell me a little bit about getting into the production side and that whole role, because again, man, you've been exposed to working with some of the best producers, studios, touring, watching all these bands, again, watching sounds and stuff evolve. What's that role like? You know, again, that's where I would love to see, you know, I love that you and Izak already connected on this and I can't wait to see what comes out of it. But like, what, where did that come from in all of this? Was that sort of in the same time that you were putting the band together, or was this something you decided beforehand? Talk to a little bit about that.
It was a little bit, it was before putting the band together. It was in like the between bands time, something I started doing that just seemed natural, really, because like, it's like you said, I seen really good people do it for like hundreds and hundreds of hours, sat there and fucking watched. But like, I don't know if I looked for a band. I think somebody, like, I swear to God, bro, I think somebody one day, like, was emailed me and was like, yo, do you ever produce artists? And there's a
little chair. I went,
okay. I think I was like, yes. Like, I think I, like, straight lied. I was like, yeah, sometimes. This is pretty good. What are you looking to do? And, like, that just, like, snowballed into me, like, doing it for real. I don't know, like, who that person was. And I was helping people with shit, too. Like, kids just started asking me shit, and then I would, like, to do shit, it felt like, and then I would say yes, and then that turned into what I was doing. Like,
yeah.
another kid would be like, one kid one day, he's like, yo, if I, like, I'll pay you whatever, FaceTime with me and some acoustic guitars and help me make my song better, and I was like, fuck yeah. Like,
well, cool. And I'll talk about this here actually for the first time too. So I'm gonna announce on the Diablos Den that Zachary Ross here is actually helping me. I'm bringing him in to write my new single that will be out later this year at the top of New Year. So again, I thought that was really cool because, you know, Zach, one of the things, again, man, I thought that was so great was, you know, man, hearing your production stuff, the writing shit. Yeah, man, again, super talented person. Where can people get you if they want to, like, if somebody wants to reach you, do it and say, like, yo, I want to produce some shit. Like, how does that happen? Tell us about that little process. Is that they can reach out to you? Like, walk us through that a little bit.
Usually people DM me on Instagram. I check my DMs from, like, whoever, you know, at least, like, once a week. But, shit, man, you can just, I'm ZACE23 at iCloud.com. And a lot of people email me there too, but my Instagram's _ Zachary Ross and then another _, and just like get at me, like, you know, you could like leave a comment or something. My Twitter is Zach Overboard. I'm on my phone. I see my shit, like
Zach, yeah. if you could produce a project for somebody, who would it be? Like, if you ideally, like, you know, what would you like to do next? Like, would you continue kind of staying with, Like, I'm going to say this, dude. One of my favorite things about this on your Nerves record that we put out together is just that there's so much of your flavor. And I know this just because I've listened to Man Overboard for so long. It's so fucking just, it's right on, man. It hits all those, you know what I'm talking about, dude. It just hits all those fucking spots.
On Your Nerves, it's like, we want it to be like, dude. I'm like, I knew that if I, like, for example, they didn't know what to do in the studio one day. This happened a lot about any little thing. And I wanted them to, like, go one way, but I'm trying to be like, well, it's your band, you guys make the decision, but I have, like, a fucking opinion. So, like, well, if it was Man Overboard, you want to know what we would do?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, what? And then I would tell them, and then they would do that shit. So
that's,
there is,
awesome.
like, in there.
So is your next, like, the next stuff, if you were going to pick another record, or if you're, maybe you're already working on something, dude, are you trying to stay with that? Would you like to do something else?
Now, it's not my end all be all. Like, I would like to do more pop punk and shit or whatever, but like, if I could pick the next thing,
yeah, like, what would that be?
Not like my favorite. The next thing would be, I would like to do hardcore or metal or rap.
You and I are doing the hardcore metal thing, and Ezek's got you covered on the metal hardcore rap thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm down, bro. Yeah, listen, it's hard.
Like, I listen to the type of music that the bands play who come and ask me to work with them. But there's so much more that I listen. Those are the other three genres I listen to the most, the ones,
right,
I just said. So, yeah. But people, rappers aren't going to come to me off at first asking me to produce them. Pop punk bands will, but I need to get the ball rolling. I need help getting the ball rolling.
Well, we're going to make that happen between
well,
you
yeah,
and
listen,
me.
Yo, listen, we're gonna put something out on Static Era Records, and that's
hell
it,
yeah,
bro. The whole world's going to be like, what the hell just happened?
We're super, super
I love it. So, yo, Zach, before we go, I want to just thank you, dude, so much for joining us tonight. This was such a fun conversation, man. I love getting you on the show. Again, just bringing in a different, you know, scene and audience and just kind of showing everybody that we're all more alike than I think we think. Yeah. And how our scenes are together. One other thing before I let you go, man. Everyone knows Man Overboard for the fucking infamous, one of my favorite shirts that I'd see all the time is the Defend, the Defend Pop Punk shirt. Just quickly tell us about that shirt, man, because we got to hear that story. I know that I'm not sure if you created it or how it came together with management or something, but tell us a little bit about that, because I think that's one of the best fucking merch things, especially at that era, man. It was so great.
Thank you. It paid my bills for years.
I bet.
Most Precious Blood, right? I think had Defend Hardcore.
Yeah.
They actually, I mean, I could be wrong, but I felt like they were kind of salty about our shirt.
I'll ask Tom Sheen's a friend. Well, actually, I don't know if Tom was in the band at the. I can almost doubt that they those guys probably don't care.
I'm sure they don't. Somebody told me that their band account once posted a picture with the Defend Pop Punk shirt and a circle with a line through it. But I was like, okay. But anyway. The story is we saw that. We were like, that's ill. We'll just make it. We made 50 of them. We went to play a local show. We sold fucking 50 of them.
That's fucking amazing.
And then we bought more. And then we bought 100. Then we bought 500. Then we got 1,000. Then Hot Topic started buying them. And then it just got bigger. I swear to God, brother, 50 shirts, 50 sold. First order ever made. Paid for by us by selling weed. And that was it. It wasn't supposed to be the logo for the band. It wasn't supposed to be something that got printed forever. We printed that to sell at our next few shows. We were a local band. That was 50 shirts supposed to last us, and they were just like gone.
That's amazing, man. Yeah, I love that. I was telling you about that before we go.
Yeah,
but
it's crazy. I remember those.
So, yo, Zach, again, thank you so much for joining us. That's a wrap for tonight's episode.
Thank you so much, Zach.
Yo, big shout out. And I just want to say, everybody, thank you again for watching, subscribing on the YouTube, staying updated with the newsletter. Catch Ezak on tour. And again, everybody, make sure Saturday, November 5th, New Haven, Connecticut, save that date. Me and Ezak are throwing a huge fucking party. Crown of Thorns, The Distance, Regulate, Almighty Watching, The World, and Adrian. So I want to see that. Keep your eye out for Zachary Ross and The Divine. Reach out to Zach for fucking producing your shit, because like I said, man, he did this On Your Nerves record for me, and it's fucking amazing. Thank you again, Zach. E, I love you. Have a safe tour and
Zach,
trip.
Thank you so much, bro.
We're gonna try to get one more episode in before November, but just in case we don't, we'll figure something out. But peace, everybody. Thank you so much, Zach. E, I'll talk to you soon.
Peace, Zach, take care, yo. Stag Air Records.
Awesome.
All right,
yo,
Stagger,
yo, we gotta do the collab.
Yo, we're on it. 5-song EP.
I love it.
The world is mine.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.